If you have your Bibles, turn right back there to John chapter 17. My message this morning is the believer's relationship to the world. The believer's relationship to the world. But before I begin in my message, I want to backtrack just a little bit and look at this great chapter. Steve read from chapter 17. We could have read all 26 verses. This is the Lord's Prayer. This prayer is the longest recorded prayer in the Bible. It is the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest of our salvation, offered this prayer. It follows chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, which some have called the holiest of holies in Scripture. There are things said in those chapters that have never been said anywhere. It's the greatest utterance on earth or heaven, and this prayer follows that. A most remarkable chapter. Sermons have been preached on it. Books have been written about it. Matthew Henry said it is the most remarkable prayer followed by the most consoling discourse ever uttered on earth. Martin Luther said it's beyond measure a warm and a hearty prayer. Philip Melanchthon, the great reformer, said there is no voice which has ever been heard either in heaven or earth as great as uttered here. John Knox, that great leader of the church, when he lay dying, his dear wife said, "What scripture would you want me to read to you?" And he said, "Please read John 17, where I first put my anchor down." When John Fisher was being burned to the stake as a martyr, he requested that John chapter 17 be read to him. My message this morning is the believer's relationship to the world. I remind you that in John's gospel, the word world appears 70 times. In this chapter, it appears 19 times. What is our relationship supposed to be as believers to the world? Certainly, life is made up of relationships. If you're a Christian, you have a relationship with God. Jesus said, "To as many as receive me, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." There's a relationship in the home, husbands and wives and parents and children. And Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve God." There's a relationship in government. We're to pray for government. All politicians in government have feet of clay, and we're to pray for them. What is our attitude toward the world? We must have a right attitude and relationship to the world. Paul said, "We brought nothing into the world, we're going to take nothing out." The world has destroyed more people. Lot's wife was destroyed by the world. Achan, Judas, Demas have loved this present world. As Christians, our relationship to the world is to be that we are pilgrims and strangers here. The Christian faith is not a way to explain or enjoy or to endure the world, but a way to overcome the world. Our relationship to the world, our connection with the world, is to be such that we're to set our affections on things above. We're to seek those things which are above. We're to look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, the believer's relationship to the world. First of all, let me say that this relationship, the Christian knows that Christ existed before the world was. In this chapter, Jesus is praying, "I've finished the work you gave me to do, and now, O Father, glorify thyself, which I had with thee before the world was." We know inwardly with all assurance, without a shadow of a doubt, that our Savior, Christ, The very God of very God existed before the world ever came into being. Christ never had a beginning. Now, when he came to earth, he entered that body that the Holy Spirit formed in the womb of Mary, and Christ entered that body, and he became the God-man. He was Christ Jesus, our Savior. But Christ existed before the mountains were brought forth or ever the earth was formed. From everlasting to everlasting, our Savior was God. John, talking to the seven churches of Revelation, said, "Grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come." Before the foundation of this earth was ever laid, before the angels shouted for joy and the stars sang creation's praise, Christ existed. Now Christ created the world. That's what our book says here in John. We know that Christ created the world. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." This truth permeates the entire scripture. This teaching runs throughout the length and the breadth of the Holy Word of God. It says in verse 10 of that chapter, "He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." I rejoice, my soul is joyful when I look at creation story, how that by Christ all things were created, whether in heaven or earth, visible or invisible, all things were made by him and for him. And he did it without any energy. What I mean is, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Let all the earth fear, and let all the inhabitants stand in awe. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Without any energy, he said, "Let there be a universe," and there was. He made it without effort. David said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." He just ordained it. He just said, "Let there be," and it was so. I don't have any difficulty in believing that God created the world. The most difficult thing is that God, who created the world, would be concerned about someone like me. Now, I have a difficult time going the way of the evolutionist. My brain almost has to become stupid. How that somehow back there, millions and billions of years ago, there were gases, and those gases exploded, and the universe came into being, the planets and all the spheres moving in right direction. And then on Earth, there was a little one-celled, it's called the molecular theory, the Big Bang theory, one little cell on this planet. And that cell got into two cells, three cells, and it grew into a tadpole. The tadpole became a frog, and the frog stood up and became an ape, and here we are. Now, I tell you, that takes more faith to believe that stuff than to believe that God is, and God said, "Let there be," and it was so. And you know, he created it without pre-existing materials. That's what it says in Hebrews 11. "Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made with the things which appear." I mean, without pre-existing materials, we can make something out of materials, but there was no materials, and God said, "Let there be an earth." Now, thirdly, I want you to see that the Christian is in the world. We're part of this earth. Jesus said in verse 11, "These, Father, are in the world." Twice he said, "These are in the world." And we rub shoulders with the world. And we are inhabitants of this world. There was a time when you were born of your in the flesh, your parents gave you birth and you became a citizen of this country, of this earth. Through the new birth, we have two citizenships. Through the new birth, our citizenship's in heaven. Dwight L. Moody put it this way. He says, I vote in Cooks County, and that's one of the largest counties in America. There's 16 million people in that county. It's the Chicago area. He says, I vote in Cooks County, but my citizenship's in heaven. We're here, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we're born into a world with problems and troubles and sicknesses and all kind of difficulties. And through many a danger and toil and snare, I've already come. 'Tis grace, and that's what Dave was singing about, has brought me safe thus far, and grace will take me home. You know, the best days that the unbeliever has is right here, doing what they do. Look at the news. This is their best time, because this world is under judgment and condemnation and headed for judgment. But these are our worst days. There's coming a day when we're going to have a permanent home. Here we have none. We're groaning for that permanent home. Then I want you to see also in our text that the Christian is hated by the world. Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure, going to the cross and death and the resurrection and the ascension. And he says, Father, now I come to thee, but these are in the world, that they might have my joy in them. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're hated by the world. These things, Jesus said, I command you. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. We're living in a world, and we're going to be tested as Christians. Blessed are men who will revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. There's coming a time of persecution. Now, God doesn't want us to be long-faced, solemn Christians. He wants us to be joyful. He doesn't want us to have a persecution complex, a self-pity, poor old me. No, fear not, I'm with you, be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Christian is not of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're not to be a part of the world. All that's in the world, John said, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, and that's not us. We're not to allow the world to squeeze us into their mold. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed. Be changed. Let your mind be different. We're not to be polluted by the world. James says that the true Christian is a person who keeps himself unspotted from the world. A man said to Dwight L. Moody on one occasion who had come to his revival meetings and had met Christ. He said to D.L. Moody, he said, now that I've invited Christ into my life and I'm a Christian, should I give up my friends? Dwight L. Moody said, no, you don't need to do that. You just live out and out for God and they'll give you up. I learned that. I returned from Mahaffey Camp. God had called me, and I have high esteem for Mahaffey Camp. God called me to the ministry. I met Christ ministry on Friday. And on Monday, I returned home, and a friend that I traveled with every day, Danny, came around to pick me up, and he looked at me. I got in the car, and we started down the road. He looked at me, and he said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. I received Christ. This is 3 days ago. He said, you don't belong in this car. And he just drove around the block and left me off. Now, the world would want us to let up on our convictions, to turn from our God, to recant our faith. They want us to be like them. And because we're not, it makes them angry. And I believe we see that anger being played out across America. By the mercies of God, we're to present our body to Him. Now, I heard of a man who knelt praying, and his prayer was this, O God, make me like Moses. And the counselor said, God has a Moses, He wants you. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. The Christian is not of this world, but he's in this world. Jesus said, Father, keep them. Now, God's glorified more by keeping Dwayne White than is by taking me home. Now, I'll go home someday. I'll behold his glory. I'll be in his presence. But he gets more glory now to keep me here, because I can talk to people, witness to people, let my light shine wherever I may go. And so the Christian is not of this world. Now, he's been chosen out of the world. That's what my text is saying. Jesus said, I've manifested thy name unto them which thou gavest me out of the world. I have given unto them thy word which thou gavest me, and they know and they believe that you have sent me. Now, the Christian is chosen out of this world. We're saved out of this world. This world is under ultimate judgment. The believer knows there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ. And Jesus is praying, Father, these which thou gavest me, twice he said, you gave them to me. That comes to the doctrine of election. I can't explain election to you. I've read all of the theologians, Hodge, Strong, Calvin, some of the great theologians, and I don't think they understand it. I mean, let's give God credit. He knows a lot we don't know. Someone said, at the gate of heaven, the word is written, whosoever will. And when we get in the other side and look back, it says the elect. Well, that may be more confusing than ever, but we know that whosoever will may come. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, it's true, God chose me. I didn't choose him. It's true, he sought me. I didn't seek him. But I want to say to you, if you come, Jesus will receive you. In my sin, my unrighteousness, my rebellion, my waywardness, God chose me. He softened my heart and convicted me and made me miserable, and he pointed me to the Lamb of God. And when I turned and looked, I was changed, and I've never been the same. He wants to deliver us from the power of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're saved out of the world. And then I want to say in closing that the Christian is sent back into the world. Jesus is praying, Father, as thou hast sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself. Neither pray I for these alone, but I pray for them also, which shall believe on me through them. He says, Father, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Christ identified himself with us when he came to this earth. Now he wants us to identify ourselves with him. God loved the world and gave us his Son. Christ loved the world and died for our sins. The Holy Spirit came to this earth to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And now he said, Father, as you have sent me, I have sent them. We're not to be isolated. We're not to stand aloof. We're to go out into the world. We're to buy up every opportunity. He left us here for one reason. You shall be my witnesses. The early Christians not only moved the world, but the Bible says they turned the world upside down. We're sent out into the world. Christ has no other method or plan to do his work. The story is told that when Christ ascended back to heaven, Gabriel said to him, "What have you done to propagate your work and to spread it all over the world?" "Well," he said, "I've left 12 disciples there, and they're going to tell others, and then they'll tell others." And Gabriel said, "What if they don't do that? Do you have another plan?" "No. No other plan. The only plan Christ has is, I'm sending you. I'm sending you out into the world to be my light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Do you know that 4 billion people upon this planet never heard the gospel? 4 billion. Do you know that they tell me there are 6,000 languages that have never heard the gospel? Where to go? It's not the amount of knowledge that's important. It's the kind of knowledge. In this prayer, Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Why did he leave us here? For one reason, that we might be his witness. We have no other reason to exist. And I can hardly wait till church is over so I can talk to someone. Really, I may stop and get gas. Just a word. Just a word. Not a sermon, just a word. Just a word about Jesus. I'm going to talk about Jesus and preach him. And if the government ever says you can't do it, they can lock me up. They can take my life. But I'm going to talk about the one who died for me. Jesus said, "Father, you sent me to the world. And as you have sent me, even so do I send you. Let us go out and let our light shine in this corrupt, wicked world in America." I'm concerned, and this is not part of my sermon, but I'm concerned about our country. The very foundation of our country was greater than any foundation of any nation of the world. It was rested on the Word of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that foundation is being eroded. The church is not doing its job. We're not going out. We're going in reverse. What is your relationship to the world? We're in it, but not of it. We know that Christ created it. He wants to deliver us from it. But not take us out of it, but to send us back into the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this glorious gospel. We pray that we might have the proper attitude in our relationship to the world. We thank you for our nation. We pray for our government. We pray, Father, for this country. But, Father, may we have a right relationship to this world. May we realize that you love the world, your Son died for the world, and the only hope for this world is Jesus Christ. The problem with the world is sin. The problem with our nation is sin. And the only answer for our nation is Jesus Christ. May we who have named the name of Christ go out into the hedges and the highways with this news. Now, Father, if there's one here today who has never received you personally, that their relationship with you today would be that you're their Redeemer by opening their life to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.